30 minutes or so, absolutely no agenda, and working on the second glass of whatever. That's when the evening gets interesting, when the stories and thoughts just come, like a work week too full that tips over, and the pent-up laughter pours out. These are the unguarded thoughts and opinions, the anecdotes and antics, the conversations that just plain happen on a Thursday night, when you're two beers in. Now, here are the hosts of Two Beers In, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
I don't think... Maybe. Oh, yeah, I don't think we should. But let's talk a little more before we do that.
Well, anyway, the guy who came earlier to use a change machine, and I went to the bar to get your drink, like I do.
Because you're very nice.
I am.
There we go.
And would Chad do that for you? Your new best buddy, Chad, your new best co-host, Chad?
He would. Oh. I'm sorry, he would.
Yeah, he would. And he'd insist on paying for it, too.
Yes. All right. And so, he did.
Anyway, what I was saying, way to rub it in. Jeez, you missed 1 week.
Yeah, and got a new best friend.
Anyway, when the guy just tried to use a change machine, went up to Austin, he said, well, you know, we got a change machine. And he goes, yeah, it doesn't work. And I said, yeah, Austin, it doesn't work. It's never worked.
Yeah.
Whole time we've been here, it's never worked.
Never
In fact,
worked.
We've made it a bit.
Yeah, guess what? It's a bit now, brother.
A bit on.
Two Beers In, which you're listening to right now.
Hey, look at that.
I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver, and I'm enjoying a Cellus White, and I've got an Old Fashioned on tap on
the back burner.
Yes.
In the batter's box.
Yes. On what's
ready
the,
to step up.
Wait, what's the, not batter's box.
Warm it's, it on the bench.
No.
Can I use any more sporting?
Yeah, I'm trying. It's the baseball. It's the pitcher. The guy.
Oh, the batter's box.
No.
No.
It's where the pitcher warms up. The pen.
The pen.
In the pen.
Oh, in the bullpen.
Yes, we got one in the bullpen.
Okay. All right. I'm Monica, your other co-host. Maybe the lesser known co-host. The replaceable co-host.
The one that wasn't here last show.
Yeah, I know. And I'm also drinking a Cellus White.
Yes.
Because the time is always right. For a Cellus White. Look, they didn't even pay me for that little endorsement there.
What do you think of that ad?
Well, it rhymes. It has good meter to it. So I give it
a solid B+.
Has a good rhythm. You can dance to it.
Sure. So I've been away for a while.
Yeah, you have.
I mean, and because I've been away, you've been away. Well, except the last episode. I'm
when
such an
away.
Asshole.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, while you were in Japan, I didn't just show up here and start broadcasting on my own.
But you came here and hung out with people, right?
I did not. No. I had tours.
Yeah, you were very busy.
Yeah, it was, we would say what time of year it is, but then Valerie would stop listening.
Let's not. Many things have happened.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Oh, my. Well, just most recent memory.
Yes.
The microphone covers here, the foam covers, remind me of a guy who was crossing Burnett Road right in front of my car earlier tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, he was wearing lime green and sherbet orange.
I mean... it's not even a pun for me to say that's a bold move that he did.
Yeah. Well, and the Mountain Dew logo on the back of his jacket
Awesome.
So orange pants and a lime green jacket with a Mountain Dew logo on the back. And he stops right in the middle of the lane to scratch his ass.
You know,
and it's like,
that's performance art right there.
That is a bold move. You know?
How was the ass? Not good.
It was no.
Because you know, it's a cute butt.
It was no Hugh Jackman ass or anything like that. No. It's more like Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Nice.
I got a new bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell me about your psychedelic dreams you've been having.
Oh, man. I swear to God, this morning I had one of those little alpha sleeps
mm-hmm.
between snooze alarms where I dreamed. I did a double take because there was a donkey going down Bending Bough Trail, which is the street where I live.
Okay.
Just trotting down the street. A couple of donkeys. So I looked it up, and it means working hard.
Well, yeah.
And getting the assistance that you need.
That's
and that
totally
sort of
fair.
Thing. Yeah, so.
Totally
but it,
fair.
It's a new bed where, you know, it's adjustable so that the head portion goes up and the leg portion goes up. And you can kind of sleep in this Swiss Army fashion.
Right.
And it's got memory foam, although I think it has a repressed memory foam because some of these dreams I've been having don't seem really mine.
Repressed memory foam. I like
so
that.
I think it's kind of seeping up. And I don't feel like I'm sleeping on a slip and slide anymore. So, yeah.
The other, no longer or the
no
other
longer.
Bed?
No, the other bed was, well,
yeah.
I would just wake up just so sweaty.
Oh, yeah.
And that is not happening with the new bed.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
EK many times could not understand why, even during times where it's not hot, I try to keep the ambient temperature around 72 degrees Fahrenheit. And she's like, why? I was like, because you put blankets on the bed and this foam mattress, which is wonderful, will reflect and I'm a sweaty boy. I'm a sweaty, sweaty boy. Nobody likes that. And then I become EK slip and slide.
Yes.
So,
yeah, yeah. She cuddles up next to you and then just suddenly
zoop. Yeah. And then there's Typo going, what just happened?
All sorts of cartoon noises come into play.
And the cat has a slide whistle. And Typo's like, do I get a snack now?
Because that's what Typo thinks.
Right.
Yes.
Right. For about everything. I met a nice lady.
Nice lady.
God, I can't remember her name. I should have brought the card. The one
that
I met
at the academy.
Yes,
at the,
is it Sarah?
Reunion?
Was her name Sarah?
I wasn't paying attention. She was gushing too much over. She was a big fan.
Yes,
she was a fan of anime.
She was.
And with every single resume item you listed, she would squeal mm-hmm. all the more loudly.
That's what I want in my life all the time.
Pretty women with multicolored hair squealing.
Yes.
At references to your resume.
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
And
I would
then,
dig that too.
And then I was an IT manager.
Whoa!
That, okay, maybe
Stop.
That'd be a little. That might be a little weird, but she is a security expert, IT security expert. She has a, God, see, I needed to bring that card with me.
Yeah.
Because she's a.
I thought it was more exotic than Sarah.
Yeah. Let me look. I'm going to look through my wallet
right, you're
going to
look through your wallet.
What's in my wallet?
Was it Costco? No.
No, it wasn't Costco.
Well,
it wasn't Global Entry. It wasn't that.
It wasn't Visa?
No, it's not. But driver's license.
She wasn't everywhere you want to be?
Stop it. Stop it, Monica.
Whoa.
I'm a married man.
That's right. Okay.
Let's see. Nope, that is the... I'm showing
Ooh,
Monica
cool
some cards.
Card.
This is the little gin bar that was underneath our Airbnb place in Aomori. And that was down an alleyway, like darkened room, and you walk in and there's six seats.
That is so cool. It's a square card. Square.
Square.
It's not rectangle.
No, it is
it's
not.
It's square.
It is square.
Yes.
And he created that. That's his name, is Kagaya. Kagaya is the name of the... And that is his... That's his name done in a...
It looks very deco. It looks...
Yeah.
And
the place was very cool. Who's this? Oh, this is the...
This is like snapshots from Brett's vacation.
Yes, this is what I do.
We'll have slideshow sound effects here in a second.
This is from the onsen that I... No, That's not the onsen. This is the TV8 executive that I met in that bar after we happened to meet up from another bar. And he's like, "You're that American voice actor." I'm like, "Yeah." Because he had found out while I was at the other bar, because I had a Japanese salary man tell me how much he loved me when he found out that I had done voices for specific cartoons, and enough to where when EK got up to go to the bathroom, she said, "Stop hitting on my husband."
So this round squirrely, this squirrely circle here.
Yes.
Around this design, what significance is that?
I think it's Aomori. I think that's the Aomori symbol for the city. I think.
Oh, okay.
But EK would have to look at that and would know for sure. And
how many times did you sing that song?
Which one?
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
That's Aomori.
That's Aomori.
Aomori. None.
None. Mm-mm. Wow. Totally wasted.
Because I've used that joke already.
Yeah, that's true. In another context.
Yeah. That's
social mores.
Social mores. What's Aomori? Well, that's when the moon hits your eye
like a big pizza pie. That's Aomori.
That's Aomori. So, but that's not all that happened. I'm going to try to dole these out as we, stories. Yep. We don't need to do all the stories.
Okay.
The main thing I noticed about Japan, especially once you get to Tokyo, is how many people are all standing in one place or moving towards you getting off the train. And EK was okay. My wife has more anxieties than I do, and she was fine. I, on the other hand, was not doing well. And it's not that I had a horrible time. It was just something I had to weather while I'm, first thing you learn is do not get on the train at rush hour.
Yeah.
Because you have to shove in backwards to get on the train and hope that nothing gets pinched when the doors close. So
how did you even stay together?
At one point, we did not.
Oh, man.
We were heading out to...
Did you have a plan?
No.
Like, if we get separated?
No, we did not.
Meet me at Tokyo Tower?
We did not.
No?
No. I mean, because we both had our phones, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But at one point, we went out to Musashima, Mitsushima.
You can make it up.
I know I can. But it's this group of islands that it's in this bay, and it's something like 85 islands, and it's all what is the type of rock that's around here? Not granite.
Oh, no, I'm doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Quartz.
Not sandstone. Limestone.
Limestone.
So it's limestone. Everything's limestone there, and to where it's washed away, and then there's these little islands, the limestone, with trees and shrines on them.
Ooh.
And you could take a boat out and go all the way around the bay that's big.
Yeah.
And beautiful bridges, long bridges that you walk across, and... really neat. But as we were heading out that way, we got on the train together. Well, when we first went to get on the train together, there was enough people to where EK walked into the train, the doors, and stopped and was waiting to move. And I knew that we had a short amount of time to get on the train. And I was like, crap, because I can't get on the train because I've got this luggage and I'm a big boy. And so... I was like, fine, and I just made the choice. I'm going to go down to the next car and get on there. So I get on the next car, and we take off, and I said, "Hey, I'm in the next car." And she goes, "Oh, ha 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 ha." And then we get to the next station, and I wait, thinking, okay, we're just going to ride on two separate. And then as we take off, I see her sitting at a bench. And I'm like, "What are you doing?" Text them, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "I'm waiting for you." I was like, "I'm pulling away from the station right now." And she's like, "Oh, well, then I'll just take the next train." And I'm like, "All right." I was like, "By the way, where am I supposed to get off?"
It was here.
And here, and on, and the rules are when you're on a subway train or on a train, you don't talk. Don't talk on the phone. Keep conversation to a minimum because it's just so many people standing in one place. That's, I mean, it does make sense. So I can't like call her and go, what the fuck? So I text her and I was like, okay, well, just where do I get off? She goes, Mitsushima. Get off at Mitsushima. I was like, okay. So it's 30 minutes, 35 minutes out to that spot. And okay, here's Mitsushima. Okay, I'm getting off the train now. Cool. I'll be right behind you. Go. I wait 35 minutes because it took 35 minutes to get to the one place. And I go, hey, let me know when you get on the train. So I'm just kind of kicking it there, and it's an empty station. And I don't really, it's not like desolate or anything. It's, there's the town right there. But I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. And so I'm feeling a little anxiety for that. And she goes, okay, I'm getting on the train now. And then now I've got to wait 35 minutes.
Yes.
So then I'm waiting 35 minutes, and now we're at to 45 minutes. And I'm like, where are you? And she goes, oh, God, this was the wrong train.
Oh, no.
It turned before it got to Mitsushima. I'm like, okay, what are you going to do? She goes, well, I'm just going to get off and take another train back. Great. And I was like, I'm going to go ahead and walk over to the hotel. You can just meet me there, take a cab or whatever. She's like, okay. So then I walk, and I'm walking through, and it's a 20-minute walk from the station, uphill, downhill. I'm seeing, at one point, a teenage boy on a bicycle stops and is agape, looking at me like, what is this American doing here, right? And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And weird. And so I just keep going up and down. Fine. It's really, it's a nice walk. I can tell that this isn't. And she goes, oh, I realized you got off at a different station. We should have taken the next train because it stops at a different point that's closer to the hotel. I'm like, great.
Great. Yeah.
Great. Well,
thanks.
I needed.
Well, get my exercise
I needed, I needed that 7 miles of walking every day that I've been doing. Yeah. So, sure. So, we get there. I get there, check in. Well, and I'm actually early before check in. And so, I'm hanging out outside. And the owner comes out and he's like, are you waiting? I'm like, yes, we're waiting. My wife's on the wrong train. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay. And he goes, well, we're not ready for you yet. I'm like, I understand. So, we talk a little bit. And she eventually arrives, and it ended up the train station was like a quarter mile from that she got off at. So she came up. She goes, you mad? I go, no, I'm fine.
No, because I have global entry.
It's okay, yeah. Which did not work when I first went in. When I was in Austin and tried to go through, I'm like, hey, here's my card. They're like, yeah, you got to go to the other thing. And I was like, why? I have global entry. And he's like, look, the airline said you needed to have. I was like, okay. You know, and I'm like, bring it down. Just, we're all right.
Hey, yeah, Barney, Fife, put the gun back in the holster.
All right, TSA, just chill for a second. I'm just asking a question. So, yeah, but the flight was good. We had a really good time. We did a lot of walking.
Did you sleep in a pod on the flight?
No, I did not sleep in a pod because that's the business business level, and we were economy. So, but it wasn't bad. And
did you need any pharmaceuticals in order to to rest?
No, we were good. That was 15 hours. Well, we flew from Austin to L.A. and spent the night there.
Uh-huh.
And then got up and went back to the airport and took off for the rest of the trip. It's weird to take a 15-hour flight and get there. Well, we lost a day.
Yeah.
And so we gain a day coming back. So as you fly, like, you take off at 11. All right. We took off at 7 at p.m.
P.m.
And got to Los Angeles at 2 p.m. same day.
Yeah.
So that's weird. Okay. And then we ended up hanging out there. And the thing I've learned is that if you're at LAX and you have a layover, you just got to hang out there, go to the pet comfort area.
Okay.
Which is an outdoor, I think it was the smoking place before.
Yeah.
But now it's like places where the dogs can go pee or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of dogs that are going through there. And so the weather was perfect, and we just hung outside, and it was kind of quiet except for the occasional plane.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kicked it. So, yeah, that's one of the things that we did. And I liked it. I enjoyed myself. We're probably going to probably go back to Europe next year. Not this year. This next year.
Next
year after.
Year after that.
Yeah, 2020.
2020. Awesome.
Sorry, Val. I guess you're going to turn this off. Yeah.
Well, speaking of foreigners and such, we have a new priest at our church, and he's from Mexico City.
Okay.
And he had a very high register when he talked. And I just couldn't place the accent. It sounded so extreme. It sounded like he was making it up.
Right.
That he was making fun of somebody.
Like, you're like, you know, this like, is, your accent, you know, is politically incorrect.
Yes,
I'd just like to tell you.
Like, it's like, really, no one could have an accent. He's not usual.
It's not fair.
It sounded very much like a villain of some kind.
For voice actors, that's not fair.
Yes. But it cracked me up the first couple of masses when he would say, "Come as we celebrate the sacred mysteries." Get out of here, the sacred mysteries.
You throw your epistles down, and you're like, "Look, if you're not gonna take this seriously, I'm just gonna go."
And when he presides at the noon mass, he enters, and then he gets up there. And first of all, it's technically afternoon.
Right.
But and of course, some of the men in the choir have moved to the front, and they're standing right in front of me so they can hear what I'm saying.
Okay.
So they will look behind themselves and take a look at me and raise an eyebrow like, really? We playing that? But Father will say, "Good morning," and I'll say, "It's afternoon." While everyone is saying,
right,
"Good morning, Father," and I'll say, "It's afternoon." And they go, "How are you today?" And I'll say, "That's a rhetorical question." Or, "We don't have time to get into
Can
it.
Can we just go?
We don't have time to get into that." And so everybody is saying, everyone else in the congregation is saying, "We're just fine." We're saying, and I'm just we don't have time to get into that.
I gotta move forward.
You're just asking to be nice.
Yeah. You don't mean it.
Every week I'll have something new.
So and they all move forward so they can hear you? Oh, that's the best. How are you? It's not important.
And I hope I never... I've been lucky so far. A lot of times when I read scriptures and I have to go down in the front during the opening hymn and I will have to make announcements that include, welcome to the cathedral. Today's Mass is being offered for cathedral parishioners. Presiding over this celebration is, and I've lucked out every single time, it's been Father Tim Nolte.
So you hope that forever it will always be Father Tim Nolte.
Father Tim Nolte, because whoever this guy is, I am not going to be able to say his name or the Korean priest or anything. It's just like, no, please have a nickname or something like that, like Father Pedro, you know, or something. It's like, please don't. And there was one mass where I said, who's presiding over the mass? And they told me, and I had to write it down phonetically on a little piece of paper and keep it in my sleeve.
Nice.
And then at the last second, I went up to the front, and somebody said, "I think there's a deacon, so you have to bring in the book." And I said, "Okay, I'll have to go back and go and fetch the Gospels to parade in with them." And it turns out it was Father Nolte.
Okay.
And I was like, "Whew!
You are Tim Nolte. Hello, Father Tim."
I run into Father Tim all the time on my tours.
Ah.
When he walks his dog or something like that. And very often he's dressed in just a regular shirt.
Sure.
And sometimes shorts. Yeah.
Rocking the...
And I don't point him out to my tour when he's, you know, when he's... Except for one Friday when I ran into him. And I had just finished telling everybody about the cathedral and its historic nature and that right. sort of thing. And then I ran into him walking his dog. And I said, oh, look, everyone, it's Father Tim from the cathedral that we
yeah.
just passed. And I said, we're apparently, it's Casual Friday. and he kind of, put his hand up to his neck like, yeah, not wearing the collar yet.
Yeah. Do I have to wear the uniform all the time?
Well, you never know when you're going to have to give last rites downtown.
Wow.
Well, it's those scooters.
Yes. You know? You hate the scooters.
At
we get
any
it.
Anytime. Anybody could be...
Because really, six of them, you might end those, you know, of all the accidents, you might cause six because you're just going to clothesline them as they come by.
Now, it's because they're on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So I got a problem with that. Although, last Friday, a regular bicyclist almost creamed me. Came out of nowhere, no light on the bicycle or anything like that. I looked up the street, there was no one there. I looked down at my phone to call up the list, and something went whoosh right by me. And yes, I screamed like a little girl.
Like a little. You know, I want to come back. I want to come back to the priests with the awesome accent.
Yes.
Because I'm going to get controversial here. There's a show or a documentary called The Problem with Apu that's on Netflix, and it's about the Simpsons. And it makes me sad. I understand how people could find it offensive that there is someone doing a bad imitation of an accent of someone else.
But Harry Shearer is good.
Right, but as a voice actor,
yeah.
I grew up imitating people.
Yes.
Never to demean.
No.
I don't think I ever demeaned.
And when I do an impersonation of Father whatever the heck your name is from Mexico City.
That's a little more offensive than actually doing that accent. Yeah, whatever that guy's name is.
I
Father, what's his name?
I'm
sure it's
I'm sorry,
Jose. There's a Jose in there somewhere.
I'm sorry I don't know your name, sir. I'd be interested in learning it.
Yes.
But so far, everybody who has told me your name, I haven't been able to understand.
You should make an action item.
I'm going to make an action item to find out his name and get to know him and his song
and his
studies.
He's fantastic.
Yes.
And that was something, you know, because one of the few things that I could ever do to make my father laugh, because I usually couldn't, was do that accent. And now I've had to retire the Indian accent because, honestly, I didn't know that would be a thing that somebody... Because I realized that even when I was in Japan, this is why, once again, going back to Japan, that when I'm telling people stories about Japan and I talk about, like, the kid at the hotel that wants to make me coffee...
Yes.
I'm saying that he's in the best way that he can. Would you like some coffee? And I'm going... Well, is that offensive? Because that's the way the guy sounded to me.
Well, it's part of the story,
right?
Because you're teaching him how to say coffee,
right,
in various American accents,
yes,
in regional American accents.
But most of the people that I talk to
set it up without doing the accent that he already has.
Right. But even with that story, but there are other stories where I talk. And I realized that when I would refer to them or say what they said, but anybody that I know that anyone I know, if I'm telling a story about them and they tell me something, I'm going to do my best to kind of imitate them a little bit.
Yeah.
And so this is just my only argument to this kind of thing, is that I think it's still about intent and not about what it actually sounds like.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm a privileged white guy, you know, and I don't want to give away. I don't want to give up the thing that I really like doing.
Try being a privileged white female telling a story about a black man security guard
mm-hmm.
and his reaction to a ghost. Okay, now we're into some serious tread lightly territory here.
I have an old story, and this is all true, about when I worked at a check verification company. And while I was there, one of my jobs was to verify funds, call the banks and verify funds for these checks. And I was so bored with verifying the funds that I started trying different accents and seeing what it was that I could get away with without the person really reacting to it. And so that was something that I did. But also, I had operators. They're the ones that would, if the check was denied, mm-hmm. then they would have to talk to that person next.
Yes.
Lovely women. I mean, most of them were women. Yeah. Most of them were women of color. And I think about the story that I used to tell of how I was like, you guys have two different voices. Do you realize that? And they're like, what? And I was like, and so I think about that now, and I think I'm not doing it to make fun. I'm doing it because it's something. So like, let me tell it real quick.
Sure.
So what they would do, because it all starts from me trying out different accents, just to think, and then I noticed that they don't even realize that they're doing.
They're using telephone voice.
Yes. And so they would like, good afternoon, telecheck.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really like that.
Yeah.
And then I would tell them, you know, you have a different voice on the phone than you do with each other. I'm like, honey, what are you? You don't know. I can't believe that you. And then it would beep. The way it would work is the phones wouldn't ring. It would just beep, and they would be on.
Yes.
Like where they're waiting for
there
the
you
call.
Go. What you
like,
call?
Oh man, you don't know. And I'm like, good afternoon, pet telecheck. And I'm like, you're doing it right now.
You did it again.
And it makes me sad to think that some people would see that would be me trying to be offensive. When it's just a funny story.
It's just interesting. Yeah. 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 My first paying job ever was trying to set up family portraits for Olin Mills.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was 17
years
old.
Yes, you were.
And yeah. And that was a tough gig.
Yes.
And so to make it more interesting, I would try accents. If I
so
saw
you
that
did
they,
it too.
I did. When I saw they, it's like, oh, the Shaughnessys. And I go, good afternoon. Mrs. Shaughnessy, would you like me to be hearing about Olin Mills portraits? We have portraits coming
up.
Ah, yes. Would you like to have your portrait taken? And so I would try various accents.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and my supervisor, who was monitoring my calls, called me and said, don't do that anymore. It's like, oh, this job is so boring. They're going to make me stick to the script. I said, I'm sticking to the script. And we went, No, you're not.
But I like it. So, yeah, that's something that I'd like to find a way. I'd like to get more people together and have that conversation again, because I would like to see what people think. You know, the thing that would make me nervous about it is someone, no, you can't do that. It's like, okay, well, let's talk. Well, because you can't. And it's like, okay, no, I want to have an actual conversation about this.
You know, I think the whole thing with Apu would be different if people didn't know that it was a white guy doing Apu.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And as for telephone voice, I have scientific proof that something about us changes when we use telephone voice.
Yeah.
Because whenever I would talk on the phone, my cat Muse would come up and just rub all over me and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. So I think there is a change.
EK does that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm talking on the phone, she's like.
So I think it has something to do with tenor and pitch and
yes.
things like that. It must be very singing like to
that's possible
creatures, and it's kind of like, oh, it, that's like when you're talking to me.
Yes.
So.
You must be talking to me. I'm a pretty kitty. Yeah, it's time.
All right.
We've hit it.
There you go.
So,
and it's time. Yeah,
it's time for your second to go get your second, and then me get my third.
All right.
I'm a drunk. No.
No.
You've been listening to Two Beers In. I'm your host, Brett Weaver. I've been drinking a lovely Cellus White and now a Old Fashioned.
And I'm your other host, Monica Ballard, and just drinking a Cellus White. I'm a lightweight tonight.
We're here at the... we're getting close to the times where we maybe travel to other places.
Yeah.
But right now, we're the lovely Aristocrat Lounge here on Burnett Road in Austin, Texas.
Lovely and lively.
And I lively, mean. Yes. We are working towards finding more people that have approached us during the setup to say, what are you doing? And I'm like, okay, we need to do more to
promote
to market, promote ourselves.
We should have like a website or something.
I want to throw. Oh yeah, which we do.
What?
We have multiple ways to get to the website now. It used to be that you could only get to the website by going to weightlesspod.com/2beersin. But now, not only can you go there, but you can also go to 2beersin.com or 2beersinaustin.com. And it will take you to the exact same space.
Man.
I spent $5.
I guess I'm going to have to chip in on
that.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
All right.
We would like for you to join us when you can if you're here in town in beautiful Austin, Texas. Usually 6 o'clock on Thursdays. We
but
may
you,
or may not
know.
Record. You never know.
Never
we'll
know.
Make announcements when we're going to go to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
You can see us on Facebook with Two Beers in Austin.
What?
Yes, we're also on Twitter, Two Beers in Austin.
We're everywhere.
And, of course, I don't post anything on Twitter, Two Beers in Austin, because I always forget. So our friend Isaac Scher did the
intro.
Opening intro, and we'd like to give him a very warm thoughts as he recovers from surgery.
What?
Yeah, and he got a new haircut because of it.
Did he get... Oh, I was going to say, did he get Julie's gallbladder?
No, they...
Okay, didn't know if there was a transplant situation.
No.
Okay.
But we'd like to thank him for that. Yours truly did the music that you hear that's playing, and Monica does the...
She
does the copy.
I just sit here and be funny.
She writes the copy for the show description.
I write the copy that makes the whole world sing.
Yes. Wait, we sing now? We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.